family gathering, a church gathering, and someone stood up to say something, and the more they spoke, the more we felt like, oh no, something big is going to change. Something bad is going to happen. That's probably how the disciples felt. And in this moment, for the first time, Thaddeus finds his voice and speaks up and has something to say. Nowhere else is there a recording of what Thaddeus said or did. And in John's Gospel, John refers to Thaddeus as Judas, but not Judas Iscariot, the other Judas. And so don't be put off that that's in fact the same person. In fact, his family might have called him Thudas, which would be a kind of a abbreviated form of Thaddeus, and sounded much like Judas, and perhaps that's why he's known by both names. But in this troubling setting where Jesus speaks to his disciples, Thudas, or Thaddeus, finds his voice. Hear the Gospel from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus was saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that one that will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it does not see him and cannot know him. But you know him because he will abide with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will see me no more. But you see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and that I am in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them, it is those who love me, and who will be loved by me, and loved by my Father. We will love them and come and disclose ourselves to them." And Thudas spoke up and said, "Lord, what then has happened? Why are you going to disclose yourself to us and not to the whole world?" Jesus answered and said, "Anyone loves me and keeps my words, then my Father will love him, and we will come and disclose ourselves to them and make our home with them." Disclosing ourselves to them. "But those who do not love me do not keep my words. And the words I'm telling you now are not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have told you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your memory everything that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not the same kind that the world gives, is the kind I give. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be fearful." What are you doing, Jesus? What? You're going to show yourselves not to the world? Isn't that what we've been about? You know, taking over the kingdom, and now we're here in this room and you're telling us we're it? Nobody else is going to see you? This wasn't the plan, Jesus. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to show as many people as possible who you are so that many people will follow you. I mean, maybe if you did a sign like the feeding thing that you did, or a miracle like so many you've done, or the walking on the water. I mean, really, Jesus, people need a sign. Don't you know the Pharisees and everybody who's a leader is always asking you for some sign that you're really from God? Wouldn't it be better if you used a sign or a miracle or some kind of force to show that you really have God's power? Because if you did, then people would get on board with this. But you're just meekly walking around talking. That's it. I don't get it. You're the one from God. You're the Messiah. Well, you know, maybe people are convinced when they see proofs and signs. I have some people I know. They want a sign. If I can show them proof that there's a God, they'll believe. You know those people too. Why should I accept that Jesus is the Messiah when there's so many other paths to God? What makes that so significant? That's really the question, isn't it? And the question Thaddeus is asking is the question people are still asking now. How can you know? Why doesn't your God do something? Oh, the kingdom of God doesn't come that way, and Jesus is trying to tell his disciples it doesn't come by force and it doesn't come by signs. Signs come when there's faith, and wherever there's faith in Israel, great things happen. And some of the people who've come to see those healings and those raisings from the dead are people who weren't even Hebrews, because I've seen faith in them, and God can move where there's belief. The kingdom of God doesn't come through signs and force, and that's really the deal. Even as much as the Messiah image may have that for us all, even if God doesn't move like I want him to and press things through like I wish he would and solve the problems like I wish he could and end hunger and poverty and homelessness like I wish he would and heal all the diseases and plagues on the earth like I wish he would, the kingdom of God comes two ways. And Jesus keeps saying it over and over. And the first one is love. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. Jesus says it four times in these verses, right? Twice before Thaddeus asked the question and two more times after he asked the questions, as if he's saying, Thaddeus, you're not listening. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. You know, some people keep God's commands because they don't want to displease God. They don't want to get on his bad side. Mm-hmm. They don't want to make him angry or they want to please him. No, Jesus says, I want you to love me and out of love keep my commands. I want you to do what I say because you love me. I want you to fast because you love me and you want me, not because you're going to prove that you're a spiritual person. If you love me, you'll automatically keep my commands. Just like when you love someone in your family, you do things to please them because you love them. Maybe you remember the time that you were dating, if you are married or have been married. You'd do almost anything. You'd rock your whole schedule. You'd spend all your extra money for that person because you love them. That's what Jesus is saying. Kingdom comes by love and keeping my commands out of love. What are his commands? Well, we don't have to go much further than the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, you've heard it said, do not murder. But I tell you, don't even hate. You've heard it said, don't commit adultery. Don't even look at someone sexually. You've heard it said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, justice, justice, justice. I tell you, give away everything you've got even when someone attacks you. And don't worry about tomorrow and what it holds. Even the sparrows are cared for. And when you pray, don't make a big show out of it. Do it in secret out of your secret love for me. I gotta say, you're doing well. I can't even tell you're fasting. So good job. You're showing your secret love for Christ if you're fasting today, and I hope you are like I am. That's what it means to keep his command. That's how the kingdom comes. The kingdom comes by love, Thaddeus. It comes by you doing the loving things that I do, the sacrificial things, the kind things, the gracious things, the forgiving things, the holding no resentment things. That's how the kingdom comes, and that's how it will spread, Thaddeus. Not because we have the power behind us, but we do have the power behind us. The other way it comes is by the Spirit. I won't leave you as orphans. I will send you another helper. Jesus says it twice. There will come a helper, and he will be with you. And not only with you like I've been with you, but he will be in you. And he will come from the Father, and he will abide in you and all around you. And when people see you, they'll sense the kingdom is alive there. And they'll want to get closer to you because I'm in you, because the Father is in you. It's about an internalized thing. It's not about expressions of outward force. Thaddeus, is the kingdom alive in you? The Spirit has come so that the kingdom fully lives and fully functions in you. Is that what's controlling you and I, Thaddeus? The Spirit that's inside you. And when that Spirit comes inside you, you'll remember things I've said. You'll remember things you've read. The Lord will show you the way forward. It's not just about memorizing and knowing the Bible better than anyone else. It's about being sensitive to the Spirit and understanding how it's supposed to apply and how to respond or not respond in every situation. You see, that's what drawing close to Christ does. It gives you a sense of what's true, but also a sense of how to function, how to respond, when to speak, what to say, where to go, what to give to. You just know. And you don't need to quote a Bible verse to prove it. But that's important. And I'm glad the Spirit reminded, so we have these very words Jesus shared on this very night. But still, wouldn't more people believe that they saw a sign? And Jesus does answer Thaddeus' question. He says, Thaddeus, anyone, verse 23, anyone who loves me will do what I say, and they'll be in the kingdom. It's wider than just you, few, and me. Anyone, and all of them will experience the Spirit. Okay, maybe that'll be enough. You know, Thaddeus' name means someone with a big heart. And of course he's going to ask this question. More people could be here. When I have a big heart, I look at our church and I say, more people could be here. Look at how many empty pews are here on Sunday. I want more people in. I want a big heart. I want there to be a real sense of come and be a part and feel the kingdom and watch it enter you and invite it in. And I want us all to be like Thaddeus, to ask that question, why not more? Why not the people in this neighborhood? Why not more than we've done before? Why not give more than we've given before? It's not an institutional question. It's not a way of forcing other people's hands. But when love is great, your heart is great, and there's more to be had. Yeah, Thaddeus, I'm with you on that. What happened to you anyway, Thaddeus? Fathers tell us that Thaddeus was pretty close with Simon Zealot. They were kind of close friends, and they kind of hung together. And even after Jesus went back to heaven, they were kind of in league together. Tradition tells us that they traveled north and to the east to Persia. And when they went to Persia, they met the king, and his name was Abgaros. And Abgaros had already heard about Jesus, because Abgaros had magicians called magi, and they knew about this Jesus, and they knew that he was the one that was sent from God. And Abgaros had this physical illness, and he struggled at it, and he was weak, and he stayed in the palace most of his life because he was weak. But when he heard that Thaddeus had come, one of Jesus' disciples, the Hebrew Messiah, he insisted that he come to the palace. And he said, you know, I wanted your Jesus to come to visit me when I was a young man, but now I understand the Jews killed him, and I was so angry I almost sent troops to destroy those stupid Jews for killing their own Messiah. They don't read the signs and the stars. They don't understand how God is at work, but I do. And Thaddeus said, you have great faith. The Lord heal you. And the Lord healed Abgaros. And he made a proclamation and said, I want all 12 of my provinces to hear from you. I want you to travel through all of Persia, and I want you to tell of Jesus and how he's alive, as you just told me, and how he can make us well. And if you have any trouble at all, you must tell me. So Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot, who traveled with him, they went from province to province. And at several of the provinces, they ran into real troubles with the Magi, because the Magi didn't like that there was a power that they couldn't control. And they started to give the disciples a very difficult time. And when King Agrabus heard about it, he had them imprisoned and was going to kill them. But Thaddeus remembered the words of Jesus. You've heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies and be gracious to those who persecute you. And Thaddeus went back to the king and said, O king, let the Magi go. They are antagonistic, but they have no power compared to what we have, and we must treat them better than our enemies. The king was floored, but he let the Magi go. And the Magi figured out where Thaddeus' plan was, and everywhere he went, they gave him grief in Persia. But Thaddeus counted it a joy that God gave him strength, and that the Spirit was in him and abiding with him, just as Jesus had told him on the very night he had been betrayed. And one young Persian man named Kretan became a follower and wrote down the many things that Thaddeus said and the things that took place across his country as he followed Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot around. And one day they came to the city known as Suanir. When they came to Suanir, the Magi were three steps ahead of them. And they had incited the town to persecute these two men who came from the Hebrew land and not our land. And indeed, they confronted them right at the city gate. They said, "We don't want your God here. We don't need your kind here." And Thaddeus said, "But why would you not want what the God is doing? And to show you as a sign of what he is doing, we cast out the evil spirits that are in this city in the name of Jesus." And we're told that suddenly there was a shrieking sound, and they saw two spirits lift from the city and flee. The Magi were so incensed. They said, "See how they're already destroying our city and our traditions." And we're told that the citizens started to pick up clubs and sticks and stones and to throw them and to start to come at Thaddeus. And Thaddeus realized that this was the end for him. Something in him told him. And he said to his companion, Simon, "Simon, the Lord is calling us home." And he smiled. And we're told that he died under the brutal attack of the people of Suenir. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I will give you my comforter. He will be with you, and he will be in you, and he will give you peace. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid, Thaddeus. No matter where you go, I will bring the kingdom. Creighton, who had followed the two disciples, was very careful to preserve their story and to pass it on to the early bishops and to bring it back to Bishop Eusebius in Alexandria in Egypt, so that it was preserved and people would know whatever became of Thaddeus, the big-hearted one. On the bulletin, there's words of response. And I think maybe it'd be wonderful for us to just share out loud these responses to the words we've heard from the Lord today. Can you describe a moment in your life when you first knew that the Spirit of Jesus was alive in you? Can you give a testimonial of how, like Thaddeus, you came to see, "Oh, I don't need proof. I sense it. It's true. I know now that I'm really God's own, and he is with me, even though he has gone to the right hand of the Father." Anyone at all, please share when you first realized this for yourself.
For me, it's not so much one instant, but a series of instants coming up to this very morning as I was driving here. So I'll just give you the three coming up. First, when I first went to the Pentecostal church down the street because my friend said, "You can be saved," so I didn't know that. So I went there, and from the time the pastor started to preach, I started to weep. And a man behind me said, "Come forward," because the pastor gave the call. That was one. Two.
Praise the Lord.
I remember when I used to smoke cigarettes, and I resigned myself to the habit. So, well, I can't stop it. And then, but I always asked the Lord, "If you take it from me." And one morning, cold turkey, no more cigarettes.
Wow.
And this very morning, on my way, I didn't have time to pray at home, so I pray as I drive, and I was thinking about, something came to me that the greater and lesser people, so the people that go out, like the Smiths, what do you call them?
Jehovah's Witness.
No, the Smiths. From our church.
Missionaries,
yeah. Some missionaries and some people give all of their lives and all they have and their training and stuff, and they take their children and go to a different land and they give their lives, and some serve the Lord in that way, and some in big ways and some in small ways, and some, even the scripture says, that many, some will say, "Lord, we did this in your name," but you say, "Get away." So say that, you know, so it's a heart. So I said, "So Lord, help me with my heart." And then the parable of the people who were the Lord, the owner of the fields called, and the first came early and the others came late.
Yes.
And he paid all of them the same thing.
Yes.
And the first were incensed.
Yes.
That he should pay those others the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, Lord, so it doesn't, how you see us, is that even if we give a little here, or we give a great lot there,
mm-hmm.
or we maybe love you, that's all we can love, just that little bit, or maybe those others can love great,
mm-hmm.
that we all, you will say, okay, it's a heart, he knows your heart,
mm-hmm.
and that gives us, that bring us to his kingdom.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank God. Thanks for sharing. Someone else. The first time you remember the Spirit was alive in you.
For me, I'm recalling growing up as a child, learned the Bible, went to church every Sunday, went into catechism, go to Sunday school. I learned who my Savior was,
mm-hmm.
and through my mother upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1992, when I reconfirmed my faith and I got baptized in the water,
mm-hmm.
then I felt that peace and the voices to me. Now it's a new beginning from Matthew to Revelation, and I just said, okay.
Amen.
And that's where my faith, I started going through the journey of knowing that God was with me and he has built me for who I am today and what I can contribute to society. So that's who I am and that's where I am right now.
Praise the Lord.
Indeed.
Through baptism, the Spirit came as he promises to. Awesome. Thank you, sister. Someone else. Remember the Spirit of life. You first felt the Spirit alive in you, and in you, and with you.
One experience I had, and this would be way back in the 80s, in some way or other, the Spirit of God was drawing me towards Christ. And I used to listen to a lot of Christian radio. And I remember there was a pastor by the name of Chuck Smith. I don't know if any of you remember, I only heard it recently, from California. But he had a program that which always started with, "All I did is the song related to the Spirit Like a Dove.
Oh, okay.
You know, come. I was listening to him, and I remember one day he was preaching on Psalm 139, where can I go to hide from the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
And his message was so touching. It really touched my heart very, very strongly. And he had a habit. He would ask people to, you know, if you weren't Christian, to come to Christ.
Yes.
And I remember hearing him, you know, making his call, and it touched my heart. I began to, you know, to weep as I was in my car, and I sort of made a commitment there again.
Good.
To, you know, to Christ.
Beautiful. Praise the Lord. He will be with you, and he will be with him and in you. Anyone else? A time when you felt the Spirit alive in you. Let's go on to the next question then. How has the Spirit of Jesus brought supernatural peace at a specific time or in a specific situation in your life? Can you tell about a time when you felt God was all over something and you had an unexplainable peace from the Lord?
In 2004, my son had an AVM where there's a vein in his brain that popped, and he was in the hospital for a month. And at one of the surgeries, because he had to have burr holes, the anesthetist came to us and told us that his heart actually stopped in one of the surgeries. Mm. And I think at that time, it wasn't, I don't know if it was so much of a peace as it was a realization that this whole thing is not in my hands. Mm. And so I just gave him up to God and said, this is your son, do whatever it is you want with him.
Mm.
And I think at that time, then the peace came with me that I couldn't control the situation, and therefore that's what I had to do. So I think since then I've realized that most of the things that happen in my life, I have to leave them in his hands, and that's where I get my peace from. And he's fine, thank God.
Praise
the Lord. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Someone else, a time when supernatural peace just settled your heart. It was in the winter of 1993, and I was in seminary, and I had made the mistake of going out on the roads when a sheet of ice had covered them from ice rain, and I was on this road that was going up a pretty steep pitched hill, and it was probably 70 yards across. And as I got halfway up the hill, the car started sliding backwards down the hill, and I was completely out of control of the car. And a terror hit me, as when you know anything could happen, because if there's another car coming the other way, they're going to cream you. You don't know what's going to happen. And I remember the car sliding off the opposite side of the road and feeling the tires hit go off the road toward what was kind of a ditch that went downward, maybe a foot, not very far. And then the rest of the car started to go that way. But as it hit the ditch, instead of being on icy pavement, it was on ground, and the ground wasn't as slick. And so the car started to slow down. And I remember praying, God, help. You're the only one who can help me for this foolish thing I've done to try and be out in this weather. How stupid of me. How young and foolish I am. And I sensed the Lord say, open the door. And I'm like, but the car's sliding backwards, open the door. So I opened the door, and as I did, the car, somehow there must have been a tree limb or something there, but the tree limb came right to the edge of where the door was open and pinned the door open, and stopped the car completely and didn't even leave a dent in the door. And I was blown away. I thought, how can this be? But thank God. But you know, what could happen if the car slides? You know, I could end up underneath it, but it stayed still. And so the Lord said, you get out of the car and go in front of the car and clear the path in front of the car and then inch it up the hill. I'm like, anybody could come over the hill at any moment and come right down on me and right over me. And so it was a very unnerving experience, but I sensed the Lord say, no one's gonna come. You're going to climb your way up this hill, and you're going to climb off the side of the road so that the left side of the car is actually off the street. And 1 foot at a time, you're going to use your hands, you're going to clear the path, and you're going to chip away the ice, and you're going to climb the hill. And for the next hour, I was out of the car, chipping away the ice, in the car, pulling it forward 1 foot, out of the car, chipping away the ice, the next, for a whole hour. And I was cold, and it was horrible. I was like, God, I'll never do this again, but thank you for the peace that you give. And as I reached the crest of the hill, up I heard a car coming this way, and it was some friends of mine who were like, we just sense we should come out here. And praise the Lord. I mean, how could they have not? I didn't have a cell phone at the time. There weren't cell phones, right? And so it was a mercy. It was a peace that God gave in spite of a very frightening situation.
The a little question. How did you, what did you chip the ice with?
I had a scraper for windows in my car, as we all do. Yeah, thank God. Anyone else? A time when the Spirit brought you supernatural peace?
For me, it was March 16, 2012, when I got the call that my mom was burned in a fire.
Mm.
At that time, I know there's nobody else, there's nothing else but God who could bring me comfort.
Mm.
Yeah. There's nothing I could think of doing.
Mm.
I know she didn't die from natural cause, so that was the greatest pain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank God for the peace that He gives.
And He's still giving me that peace, but sometimes it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up to another anniversary, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had her picture up, and I would talk to her sometimes, to the picture. And I said, "What would you say? What would you say to me right now if we talk about that?" And like something within me said, she would say, "Just let them go on." In our dialect, she would say, "Just let them go."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. So
mm-hmm.
I know it's an inner peace.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
That only God could give.
Yes, true.
Not as the world gives, do I give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Anyone else? Well, at the bottom there of our response moments, you pray for a fellow believer who needs to increase in love for Jesus and His kingdom. Maybe like Thaddeus, you know a fellow believer who is really struggling and wants to see a sign, but really doesn't understand why God doesn't answer with power or why Jesus seems to be taking off when He could be doing so much for that person right now. Maybe like Thaddeus, we need to hear the words, "Lord, and lift up," as Thaddeus learned, that the Spirit can give even more than Jesus can give, because He comes from the Father. Let's pray. Father, You have not left us as orphans, but the Spirit of Jesus has come to us. Thank You for these testimonies of the supernatural peace, the powerful interventions that You have given in our lives in moments of heartbreak, in moments of danger, in moments of deepest fear and loss. How beautiful it is that Your kingdom has come and that we walk in confidence in it because You give a peace that goes anything beyond the world. And as we feel that, we respond with big-hearted love. And like Thaddeus, we're not afraid. We're ready to stand up and tell of the wonders You have done, for no greater signs are needed. The sign of Your abiding presence with us is enough. And we pray for the fellow believer You've brought to our minds right now, someone we have interaction with, someone who lives in anxiety, someone who, like Your servant Thaddeus, wanted to know, "What has happened? Why are You doing this? Why is it like this? I thought You'd make it right." Oh God, we lift this person up to You by name in the silence of this moment. We pray that Your Spirit of peace would come and abide in them. We pray that an assurance of Your very nearness and Your indwellingness will be their experience starting right now. We pray that with faith, they will be ready to lovingly respond to Your commands and find what amazing things happen, just as You did for King Agrippus in Persia through the confident words of Your servant Thaddeus. We look forward to what you will do and how you will give us courage to speak as you gave courage to Thaddeus. We look forward to the day when we will say, Lord, you are calling us. Today is the day. Until then, let your peace abound. May it pour off of us in every circumstance, in every situation, that the world may know what you are and what you do. Thank you. Amen.